الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وسلم تسليما كثيرا. All praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to exalt the mention and to grant the peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions and all those who follow them on the righteous path until the day of judgment. Basically, in the tafsir of Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah of the book of Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi al-Aqidah al-Wasitiyyah, we have been dealing recently, or at least last week, with the intent. Is, we said, irada. Yeah. Huh? Irada. And we said irada is of two kinds. What are they?
Universal.
I want it in Arabic. Kauniya. Kauniya. And شرعية. شرعية. From شرع. أيوة. With the عين. شرعية. Which is legal. Legal intent. طيب. Who could give me, who could explain to us the variation between them? What is the difference between them? Now, brothers. Come on.
Examples?
You can give examples, but define it first.
Something Allah wanted to guide someone. It's like
No, I don't want the verse of surah. I want the information. Come on, we probably spend an hour on this.
There are shirk in this world, okay? Shirk. So it doesn't mean that Allah accepts the shirk.
طيب. What does that have to do with the intent?
Listen.
Let me repeat it for you guys to save you the time. Al-Kawniya, universal intent, is everything that Allah decreed to happen, whether he is loved by Him or not. That's universal law. That there will be kuffar. Does Allah love kufr? No. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا يَرْضَ لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرِ. And Allah is not pleased that His servants will disbelieve. طيب. We know for a fact that Allah will not love evil. But didn't Allah allow evil to exist?
Yes.
That is the universal intent of Allah. Whereas the legal one deals with that which Allah loves. Hey, the things that are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that are intended in terms of us doing them, commandments, are loved by Allah. So then we say the difference is that the first one is relevant to whether Allah loves it or Allah doesn't love it. Still, it's by the decree of Allah, because we said nothing is independent of the intent of Allah. You cannot say there's kufr that happened without the permission of Allah. You cannot say that disbelief exists without the will of Allah. Impossible. There isn't anything except that Allah has willed it. Otherwise, it would not come into existence. Is that understood? Okay. So then it must have, Allah's intent must have been there, the universal one, for kufr to exist. Then, but this is one thing. Then we say, does Allah love kufr? Say, it's impossible. Then the legal intent of Allah is that you don't disbelieve. But the universal one is that He gave you the freedom. You may believe, you may disbelieve. Legally, Allah wants you to believe. That's why He sent messengers, He sent revelation, He told us in the Quran, believe. O you who believe, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, aminu. O you who believe, believe. And all the verses in the Quran, Ya ayyuha nas, ittaqu rabbakum, O mankind, fear your Lord. All this Allah calling upon His creation to worship Him alone, to believe. This is His legal intent. But universal intent, He allowed them to respond or otherwise. I hope this is clear. If I ask you this again, man, and you brothers don't give me an answer, I'm going to drink more water. Bye. Anywho, the Sheikh will give us another summary for it, so this will help us maintain this information or retain this information. فَصَارَ الْفَرْقُ بَيْنَ الْإِرَادَتَيْنِ مِنْ وَجْهَيْنِ الْإِرَادَةُ الْكَوْنِيَّةُ يَلْزَمُ فِيهَا وُقُوعِ الْمُرَادِ وَالشَّرْعِيَّةُ لَا يَلْزَمُ. So the difference between the two intents, the universal and the legal one, is in two ways. The first one, the universal intent, it necessitates the occurrence of that which is intended. It necessitates the occurrence, the taking place of that which is intended. Allah intended for the sun to rise at this particular time. By His universal intent, it must come into play. It must exist. It must happen. It must occur. Right? Is it possible that the sun will say no? Can anything go beyond the boundaries that Allah has given the creation? Impossible. Everything must submit. Yani this is the form of ibadah which everyone does, whether willingly or unwillingly. Like the kuffar, no matter what, even if they disbelieve in Allah, they have to submit to Allah. They don't control death. They don't control sustenance. They don't control the weather factors. They have no control of anything except what Allah allows them to control. So they are submitting to Allah by being subdued. Not willingly, unwillingly. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and earth, He said to them, come, either willingly or unwillingly. قَالُوا أَتَيْنَا طَائِعِينَ. Nay, that we will come obedient. The heavens and the earth. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them, Surah Al- it comes in Surah Al-Believe Al-Baqarah and also in Surah Al-Shura, Surah Fussilat. Naam, Surah Fussilat. It mentions that particular discussion where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the heavens and earth to come, and they said, verily we will come, O Allah, obedient. So everything then is submitting to Allah willingly or unwillingly. Fine. Second way that we can make a distinction between the two intents. الإرادة الشرعية تختص فيما يحبه الله والكونية عامة فيما يحبه وما لا يحبه. Which is the second part we discussed. The legal intent is specific regarding that which is loved by Allah, whereas the universal one is general. It includes both that which Allah loves and that which Allah does not love. Okay. So then, what are the two ways? The first one, the universal must occur, right? Because the legal one may not. People may obey Allah, may disobey. That's the first difference between them. The universal, it must happen. The legal one, it may happen, it may not. Secondly, the universal is dealing with that which Allah loves and that which Allah doesn't love, whereas the legal one is specifically regarding that which Allah loves. Khalas. This is a beautiful summary by the Shaykh. رحمه الله برحمته الواسعة. فإذا قال قائل كيف يريد الله تعالى كونا ما لا يحبه، بمعنى كيف يريد الكفر أو الفسق أو العصيان وهو لا يحبه. If someone said, and this is a very realistic question that may be posed, if how could Allah the Exalted want something or allow something to happen although He doesn't love it? Yani how is it possible that Allah wants disbelief, Allah wants disobedience, Allah wants, you know, transgression, but Allah doesn't love it? Huh? So let's see what the Shaykh says.
Because of universal intent.
Huh?
Because of universal intent.
Yeah, but they will see if there's more to that. Of course, that we know that. فالجواب, actually there's a better answer. That's a good answer, Jazakallahu khairan, but there's a very satisfying answer, just in case the shaitan is whispering to you right now, like, oh, how is that, huh? No, never. There's always an answer in Islam.
Like the talaq, right? Something like the talaq. Talaq? Allah don't like this. Allah hates, but He allows it.
That hadith is da'if, by the way. The most hated halal thing to Allah is divorce. Is not an authentic narration. Just for your future reference, for the future reference. It's not a... No, well, I mean, some of the scholars say, yani, the meaning may be correct. But the particular hadith that is usually used, أبغض الحلال إلى الله الطلاق, that's the hadith, the most hated halal to Allah is divorce, is not an authentic narration. طيب, I may send you the information. Anyways, but that
comes in my mind a lot always when you mention this.
But that is correct though. We will see. It's about something being good in one aspect and otherwise in another aspect. We'll see. فجواب أن هذا محبوب إلى الله من وجه ومكروه إليه من وجه آخر. The answer is that kufur, the transgression, disobedience, sin is beloved to Allah in some aspect, in one way, and it is hated by Allah in another way. Time out. Don't freak out. فهو محبوب إليه لما يتضمنه من المصالح العظيمة مكروه إليه لأنه معصية. It is beloved to Allah because of the great benefits that it contains, but it is hated to Allah because it is a sin, and we will see why more. ولا مانع أن يكون الشيء أو أن يكون الشيء محبوبا مكروها باعتبارين. أن يكون الشيء محبوبا مكروها باعتبارين. So there's no harm that something may be both liked and disliked in two different ways. فها هو الرجل يقدم طفله الذي هو فلذة كبده وثمرة فؤاده يقدمه إلى الطبيب ليشق جلده ويخرج المادة المؤذية فيه. He said, here you see a man bringing his own beloved son, his son, which is the love, the most valuable thing to him, and you know your children, if you have any, he presents him to the doctor in order for the doctor to cut his skin and take out some harming element in the body, some sort of bacteria, whatever. You know, you go to a doctor, he will cut your head, you know, maybe there's some poison or something.
Operation.
He said, وَلَوْ أَتَى أَحَدْ مِنَ النَّاسِ يُرِيدُ أَنْ يَشُقَّ بِظُفْرِهِ وَلَيْسَ بِالْمِشْرَطْ لَقَاتَلَهُ. He said, but if a man was to come to his son and try to cut him with his nail, not even with a scissor, he would fight with him. Say, man, leave my son alone. Don't play with my son. لكن هو يذهب إلى الطبيب ليشقه. But on the other hand, he goes to the doctor so the doctor may cut his own son. وهو ينظر, and he is looking at him. وهو فرح مسرور, he's happy and content. Oh, mashallah, go ahead, doctor, cut him up. يذهب به إلى الطبيب ليحمي الحديد على النار. الشيخ is exaggerating, رحمه الله. حتى نعم ليحمي الحديد على النار حتى تلتهب حمراء. He says he takes it to the doctor so he could burn the iron on fire and it will become red. يعني extreme in the level of injuring the child. ثم يأخذها ويكوي بها ابنه. Then he will take it and he will burn his son with it. And you know, this is the kawi, it's in there something known. Anyways, it's a means of treatment in different aywa. وَهُوَ رَاضٍ بِذَلِكَ, and he is satisfied. He's pleased with that. لِمَاذَا يَرْضَ بِذَلِكَ وَهُوَ أَلَمْ لِلْإِبْنِ. Why is he pleased with that? Although it is painful to his son. لِأَنَّهُ مُرَاد لِغَيْرِهِ لِلْمَصْلَحَ الْعَظِيمَةِ. Because there is a greater benefit that is intended by this particular thing. الَّتِي تَتَرَتَّبْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. Now you see, so yani things that may appear to be evil produce a lot of benefit, but you may not see that. So you have to widen your scope and you know your understanding of things. And just to give the smallest example that regarding this, if this was not the case, then the people of goodness and pious will not be distinguished from the other ones. Then we will all be the same, and there will be no point in the people of Jannah earning Jannah, because there will be no difference between the good and the bad, the righteous and the wicked, and so forth. So the existence of these things is that which differentiates the righteous believers from the rest of the people. So it is hated to Allah in this sense, but it is means of goodness to occur and the people of Jannah to enter Jannah, to enjoy Jannah, otherwise there will be no Jannah. So this is yani how it is understood. Is that clear? Fine. ونستفيد بمعرفتنا للإرادة من الناحية المسلكية أمرين. The practical benefits that we deduce from knowing the definition of irada or the intent, we know we benefit in two ways. وعليكم السلام. الأمر الأول أن نعلق رجاؤنا وخوفنا وجميع أحوالنا وأعمالنا بالله لأن كل شيء بإرادته وهذا يحقق لنا التوكل. The first practical benefit is that we should maintain our hope and our fear and throughout all of our affairs and all of our deeds to Allah. You should maintain them for Allah. Because everything happens by the will of Allah and through Allah's intent, and this will help us establish tawakkul, reliance, dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you know everything comes from Allah. So when the irada is, the kawniyya is from Allah, then you don't depend on the creation, because nothing happens unless it's under universal intent of Allah. So through the legal intent, which is the dua you make, you can change, or Allah will change for you the universal intent. You get me? You're intended to have low sustenance, but you do righteous deeds. You give sadaqah. When you give sadaqah, Allah will give you something better in return. Besides the reward, you may get more money. So then through that legal intent that you have done, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change the universal intent, which is you to get more money than what was expected. We said in the second level of book, which is that was the angels. Because in the Lawh al-Mahfuz, in the preserved tablet, the final thing is recorded, which is the real sustenance you will get. The other one is the one that is in the heavens, that is being dealt with by the angels. This is the one where Prophet ﷺ said that the decree of Allah will be coming down, and the dua you make will go up, and they will come across each other in the heavens, and they will continue to fight. So the qadr, which was maybe harm coming down, will never make it because of the dua. Now in the preserved tablet, which is with Allah, it was written that this will be the case. But in the lower heaven, among the angels, what was written is that this calamity was going to fall upon you. Your dua, act of worship, made it remain in the heavens and never went down upon you. Is that clear? Fine. الأمر الثاني أن نفعل ما يريده الله شرعا فإذا علمنا أنه مراد لله شرعا ومحبوب إليه فإن ذلك يقوي عزمنا على فعله. He said the second is that we should do whatever Allah intended legally. يعني the شرع, everything in Islam. You should carry it out. We should carry it out. Because if we know that this was the intent of Allah, the legal intent of Allah, and it is beloved to Allah, then this will strengthen one's intent and ability to carry out this act. When you know that this is loved by Allah, then you will hasten to do it. Because you know that you'll be gaining the love of Allah, because Allah, everything that is in shari' is loved by Allah. Right or wrong? The universal intent is loved by Allah. So any obligation you fulfill, any prohibition you stay away from, you are automatically gaining the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and protecting yourself from His punishment. Every single act of worship. وَلَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْءٍ. Prophet ﷺ said, do not belittle any good deed. يعني anything, smiling at, he said, smiling at your brother is a good deed. Even smiling at him is a good deed. So don't belittle anything. Everything will be rewarded by Allah. It is beloved by Allah. And then if this is the case, and we have levels of good deeds, then what should we look for? Those that are most beloved to Allah. Right or wrong? Deeds vary in virtue and in reward. Right or wrong? But if you're not supposed to belittle the smallest of deeds, the smallest of deeds, don't belittle it. It's loved by Allah. Then one naturally must ask, what is even more beloved to Allah? If only smiling to my brother, which is a piece of cake, it's nothing, is beloved to Allah and is rewarding, then what are the things that are more rewarding? When Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu asked that to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, what is the most beloved act of worship to Allah? What did he tell him?
Prayer.
As-salatu fi waqtiha. Prayer on time. Which means that the most beloved, of course after Tawheed, the most beloved act of worship to Allah is the Salah. And so then if smiling is rewarding and you don't belittle that, then we must focus on this very loved act of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the Salah. That means that we establish it correctly, we do it on time. In the case of Jama'ah, you do it in the first row, early, and everything that is associated with the virtue of the Salah. So you know, this is how we understand things. And second, birrul walidain, being dutiful to our parents, this is something that we should also take into consideration. Smiling at your parents is not the same as smiling at your brother. It's more rewarding to smile at your parents, because it constitutes two acts of worship: smiling and being dutiful to them, and you know, bringing happiness to their hearts and so forth. You all understand this, I hope. I'm sure, inshallah ta'ala. هذا من فوائد معرفتنا بالإرادة من الناحية المسلكية. فالأول باعتبار الإرادة الكونية والثاني باعتبار الإرادة الشرعية. The Sheikh summarized that these are the benefits that we deduce from our knowledge of the two various intents of Allah. The first being considering the universal intent, and the second dealing with the legal intent.
So through some legal intent we can change the universal intent.
Yeah, because the legal intent, Allah commanded you to worship Him and to supplicate to Him, to make dua. By making dua, then you are dealing with the one who controls the universal intent. So nothing will happen to you unless by His will. So you don't have to fear the people, your boss giving you a hard time, anything in the world, you won't have to fear them. Because you know that he is under the control of the universal intent of Allah. Who controls it? Allah. So if you go to Allah through the legal intent, when you're a believer, then you don't have to worry about the universal intent, because Allah will change whatever Allah wants. You see what I'm saying? So that will teach us to depend on Allah, not on His creation. Because you can depend on someone, he can do nothing for you. Because in the universal intent of Allah, this person is not going to be able to help you. Right.
So which intent can we change? The legal intent?
No, the legal intent is the deen of Allah. You cannot change.
They cannot change.
Sharia. Whatever Allah sent down from do's and don'ts, that's unchangeable. But what I'm saying is you can change in a sense, you're changing it. Allah is changing it. Let me use that word. Allah will change it through your supplication.
Through your good deeds.
Aywa. Because you cannot change the universal intent. Allah is the one who changed it, but you are the one who supplicated to Allah to change it for you.
But this thing already written in Lawhul Mahfuz.
Yeah, but everything is in Lawhul Mahfuz.
So, you will do, your bad thing will be changed based on your specific lovable deeds.
Huh?
This bad thing, for example, is written already for you. Okay? By doing through your good deeds, the legal.
It will be changed.
It will be changed.
Yes.
This thing also written in the
Lawh al-Mahfuz. No, Lawh al-Mahfuz has all that written in detail. It has everything. Because see, in Surah, whether it's Surah Ibrahim or Surah Al-Ra'd, يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتُ وَعِنْدَهُ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ. This is the verse that is used, and this is explained, I believe, by Ibn Abbas, this explanation I'm giving you. Allah erases whatever He wills, وَيُثْبِتْ, and He affirms, and with Him is the mother of the book, which is Allah al-Mahfuz. So the scholars say the first part of the ayah deals with that which Allah allows to change among that which has been written among the angels. You know, the decree that goes down on Laylatul Qadr. Among the reasons why it's called Laylatul Qadr, because يُقَدِّرُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, the actions of the whole year is decreed on that day. Everything has been decreed among the angels. So that is changeable. But
I don't understand. Among the angels, that is different from Lawhul Mahfuz?
Yes.
What is that book among the angels?
The regular kutub, the regular books that they write the decree in it, that Allah has given them. But everything, the main reference is, like, just to give you a company. You have the main book in the company. Yeah, alhamdulillah, I thought of a good example. I hope it's a good example. You have a main book. That book, it's in with the boss. Only the boss has it. In it, it says that we will first present to the employees such books to study. And you have level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 until level 15. طيب? Now, you know, only the boss knows that there will be 15 different books. And then he has managers running his business who are given books in return, you know what I'm saying? And then they deal with the employees. Now they have knowledge that the employee doesn't have, because they know the books. But no one knows the number of books except the boss. You see what I'm saying? So whatever is with the boss is the thing that the regular employees have no knowledge of. So they deal with their regular things according to what they see. You know what I'm saying? So they still have more knowledge than the employees, but they don't have the final thing. Because maybe the boss in his book will say, we will do level 3 this year, and then next year we will remove level 3. We will no longer have level 3. So he already has written the abrogated level. But the manager doesn't know. He will receive this information. You see what I'm saying? So he will deal with according to level 3. He will tell the employees, next year we'll also have level 3. Why not? He doesn't know that it's been written in the book of the boss that level 3 will be removed the following year. He goes with whatever is apparent. Is that clear?
Okay. This managerial book, like our good and bad, it's recorded by angels. That one?
Yes. That one and the even the Quran. The Quran, of course, is in the preserved tablet, and it was sent down to the heaven where Jibreel sent it then from there to the Prophet ﷺ over the period of 23 years. It was sent down all in one entity, which is إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. Then throughout the years, it would be revealed in verses by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see what I'm saying? Similar, same thing. The Quran was sent as one thing in the heavens, and then it was sent down by Jibreel in parts. The decree of Allah, that Allah decreed everything when He created the pen. Allah told the pen to write. The pen said, what am I going to write? He said, write everything that will happen. This is where everything was written.
So the whole thing, it was with Jibreel alayhi salam. The whole thing.
The Quran.
It was with Jibreel alayhi salam. Yes. He is releasing one by one, one by one.
Then by, yes. Then over the period of 23 years, he will convey to the Prophet Muhammad sallam the verses relevant to the circumstances that he was in.
By the command of Allah.
Yes. Of course, by the will of Allah. But it's Allah who will that the Quran will go down as one, and then will be sent down over periods of time. So you know, we just have to, this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so don't think in a, yani we have to think in this fashion, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the preserved tablet which is everything, and then He gave the angel who writes your sustenance. We mentioned that already. When you're in the womb of your mother, He writes your al-ajal and what have you, and other things. These are all among the angels, among the creation. They are, they may be changed. Because Allah said, if one of you wants to extend his life and his sustenance to be increased, let him keep his kinship tie. You see what I'm saying? So now, if you don't keep your kinship tie, what was written among the angels that you will die at the age of 25, you know what I'm saying? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us. At the age of 25, it will happen. But if you do keep your kinship ties, and then Allah will allow your age to you extend. Now, Allah knows in the preserved tablet the final result, which is the extension after your act of worship. But the angels, when they written that, they may not know that. They don't know that. This is with Allah. Aywa. Now we go on actually to a whole other chapter dealing with the attribute of mahabba. Who knows what mahabba is?
Love of things.
Mahabba is love.
Love.
Hub, love, mahabba, love, and what have you. Right. Now this is, these next pages are crucial. Very crucial, because along with the fact that they deal with the nature of the book, which is dealing with the names and attributes of Allah, but really the practical benefits in these next verses and in this next explanation is crucial for each and every one of us, because it deals with something very fundamental, love of Allah. How do you attain? I mean, we've dealt with this in khutab and in different occasions, and it's all really from this particular book. But in reality, I want us to focus, because this is more, يعني, they call it rawhaniyat, more spiritual, you know, sense, not only strictly knowledge. It deals with things that, you know, whatever. Mahabba.
In Hindi, we say muhabbat.
Muhabba? Close.
Like the
shirk mahabba,
like
that. Muhabbat.
Shirk
mahabba. Huh?
There is a
shirk mahabba.
Shirk
mahabba, yeah, that's one of the forms of shirk. Na'am. This is the ayah. And among mankind are those who take besides Allah equals. They love Him the same way they love of Allah. So this shirk in the love. Yeah, طيب. هذه آيات في إثبات صفة المحبة. What follows will be آيات, verses that confirm or affirm, excuse me, the quality of محبة. And this is a question, does Allah love? Now why is this important for us to know if you ever give da'wah? And I'm sure inshallah all of you are involved in da'wah to a certain extent. You know, the kuffar, the disbelievers, particularly the Christians, seem to propagate this conception that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not loving, and that the God of Muslims is some mean, cruel God that punishes only, and that, you know, is, you know how this idea that they give, and they oppose that by saying that Jesus is all love the loving God, the loving Father, blah blah blah, love, 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 God, Jesus loves you. Even if you're a kafir in Jesus, he would tell him, Jesus loves you. Okay, that's just the love is everything for them. You know, they over exaggerate love lying. Okay? Because we, you know, we could deal with that in another session. But at the end of the day, they seem to they do that. And I've heard this in more than one lecture or debate, where the non-Muslim will try to use that against the Muslims. And particularly this lousy, low-life Anis Shorosh, who's an Arab. And so this is even more problematic, because he could read the Quran in Arabic, and he knows, who claimed that in the whole Quran, and he said in all of the attributes you have of Allah, he said none of them is loving. And this is deliberate deception, as it is his habit to always lie. Rather, we have al-wadud, which is not love only, it is extreme love. Wood is beyond love. It's a higher level than the average love. Al-Wadud is one of the names of Allah. وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ. Right in Surah Al-Buruj. Right? Everybody remembers the Surah?
Yes.
What's the ayah?
14.
Yeah, there?
Yeah.
Where from?
وَهُوَ
الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ. Masha
Allah.
Aywa. وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ. Wood is love, but see, he because the people may not know that, so he made this claim. And had the person debating with him been knowledgeable of the Arabic language also, and had more Islamic knowledge, he could have been refuted right then and there. So you are a liar. Not only we have Allah as loving, rather al-wadud, which is even beyond the average love. Furthermore, all these ayat that we will hear and see, where Allah says, "Wallahu yuhibbu." And Allah loves. So this is something established. And Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim is what? Other than love. Yani it's clear like the sun. So we must understand these verses. So whenever someone will come with this particular ideology that, you know, your God is not loving, we say on the contrary, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is loving. But the problem that you people don't understand is that who deserves the love? You see, you don't deserve love, you get no love. You deserve love, then Allah is loving indeed. And then, you know, so much so the Prophet said, Allah is more merciful to you than your mother is to you. And then you are to yourself. Allah is more merciful to you. For who? For the believer. So people must do something to bring about the love of Allah. It is not general in this sense. Otherwise there will be no hellfire. So that's what we make the point to them. That Allah is loving, but did you ask yourself whether you qualified to be loved by Allah, or do you just want to get free love? Because it doesn't happen in this world. Even in this world, if you have a boss, you work in a company, and you're a lousy employee, you come late, and you don't do the job, and nobody's going to love you, man. You know, and you cannot expect anyone to love you, and if they did, it would be a false kind of love, because you don't deserve it. Who they will love? The good employee, who does the job. So say this is natural, that the people must attain love. You know, you get it, you earn it. It doesn't just come freely, particularly the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is supposed to be worshipped, and you don't even bother to worship Him. You take from Him, but you don't give anything in return. No love for you. That's what it is. No love for you. But don't say Allah doesn't love. He loves the believers. He loves Abraham and Noah and Moses and Jesus and Muhammad. He loves many righteous people. You're just not one of them. So you fix yourself, and then Allah will love you. Until then, yes, you're right. Allah doesn't love you. You know what I'm saying? Because you're a kafir in Allah. So we make that understanding. Of course, you may be nicer than I am right now. I'm only giving you the way it's the information. You say it in a more nice and gentle way, as I probably would if I was in that situation. Allahu Akbar. No, the Surah Al-Buruj, this is off. I don't know how Allah decreed that he happened to have it in front of him. The Shaykh will not even mention that one. Okay, we're dealing with something else. Al-Ayah Al-Ula, قوله تعالى وأحسنوا إن الله يحب المحسنين. سورة البقرة verse 195. وأحسنوا. لا. لا. يعني from إحسان. And إحسان is what we said. Well, the Arab, the English language is not going to aid us much. إحسان has a number of definitions. The most accurate one is the one given by the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which is to worship Allah as if you can see Him, but if you can't reach that level, then know that Allah sees you. That's done. Linguistically, ihsan from hasan, anything that is good. Anything that is good. So ihsan is really an encompassing word that includes all kinds of goodness. Whatever is considered positive, good, beneficial, it falls under the general understanding of the word ihsan. The English language is so limited that the only word we could find that is maybe synonymous is good. But it's really beyond that. It's a lot more than that, as we will see with the explanation of the Shaykh. Ahsan is better. Good, better, best.
From this.
Well, maybe from the root word, which is hasan or yuhsin or ila akhiriya hasana. But the idea is, and all hasana from the same. So you find many words come from this particular, derived from this root word.
Linguistically,
hasana, yuhsin, muhsin, all these are names, muhsin, ahsinu,
plural to
ihsan.
Yes,
muhsin?
Oh, yeah.
No, muhsin is like Muslim. Yani the one doing goodness. Like writer. Muhsin, gooder. But there's no gooder. Well, we could always invent a new English word, why not? Al-Muhim, وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. So how do you translate that? And to the best of, you know, English, it can help us. And do good, verily Allah loves the good doers. Allah loves the good doers. So what is the point of emphasis here? يُحِبْ. But let's break down this verse. وَأَحْسِنُوا فِعْلْ أَمَرْ. أَحْسِنُوا is فِعْلْ أَمَرْ. What's فِعْلْ أَمَرْ?
Command.
Order. يعني you must do it. والإحسان قد يكون واجبا وقد يكون مستحبا مندوبا إليه. Now I want you to memorize this information if you are able to do so. This is the key to da'wah. إحسان may be obligatory or it may be recommended and encouraged. إحسان, there are times where it's an obligation for you to do good. And there are times where it is voluntary. You want to give me some examples? Give me some examples. When ihsan could be a compulsory, when can it be voluntary? Zakah. Obligatory, tayyib.
Taking care of your parents.
Beautiful. Ihsan, isn't it good? I mean, zakah, isn't it good? Goodness?
Obligate.
Doesn't it fall under ihsan?
Obviously.
Because it's a fulfillment of the obligation of Allah.
Yeah.
Is it compulsory? It is. So this is a wajib, ihsan wajib on you. Sadaqah is recommended. You're not obliged to give sadaqah, but it's recommended. Brief, good.
Providing for the parents is obligatory. Giving to brothers and sisters is charity.
There's actually a big discussion among the scholars pertaining to what extent is it obligatory to spend on the parents. There are actually some guidelines for that, conditions actually, whether it is their ability or lack of ability. You have to read the fatwa. It's a long fatwa about this particular issue, and even brothers and sisters. But generally speaking yes, but there are circumstances where this is not the case. طيب, if you brothers remind me with this, somebody do me a favor. Email me the reminder so I can email you the fatwa to the group.
I'm doing that.
But not with me.
You know,
do it with me. Email me because I forget. I say I'm going to email you and I forget because I'm busy, alhamdulillah. I will email you the fatwa, inshallah, that deals with the idea of the spending on the parents. To what extent is it, you know, how do you deal with that? طيب. المهم الشيخ says, فما كان يتوقف عليه أداء الواجب فهو واجب وما كان زائدا على ذلك فهو مستحب. The Sheikh said, whatever the obligation cannot be established except with it, then this form of ihsan becomes wajib, obligatory or an obligation. And whatever is beyond that, then it is only recommended. يعني you must do a certain level of ihsan, which is like he said, the zakah. That's an obligation, and more than that, sadaqah, it's up to you. وَبِنَاءً عَلَى ذَلِكَ نَقُولُ وَأَحْسِنُوا فِعْلُ أَمْرٍ مُسْتَعْمَلٌ فِي الْوَاجِبِ وَالْمُسْتَحَبِ. He said, based on that, we say that the word أَحْسِنُوا is a command it's a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an order given by Allah, which includes both that which is obligatory and that which is recommended or encouraged or voluntary. All of them are used to give the same meaning, which is mustahab or mandubun ilay. طيب. والإحسان يكون في عبادة الله ويكون في معاملة الخلق. إحسان is of two kinds. I hope you brothers will remember this. The first one is إحسان in the worship of Allah. إحسان in the worship of Allah. The second was in إحسان in treating the creation of Allah. Huh. So there's the right of Allah and the right of the creation. No, the first ihsan is the ihsan in the worship of Allah. The second one is ihsan in the treatment of the creation of Allah. How do you treat them?
Not doing any zulum to them.
Aywa. Well, the Shaykh will elaborate.
Like being
ihsan in the way you treat the creation of Allah. Even the animals, everything. طيب. فالإحسان في عبادة الله فسره النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حين سأله جبريل عليه السلام لأن الذي أيوة فقال ما الإحسان قال أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه. He said, in terms of إحسان in the worship of Allah, it has been defined and explained by the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم when he was asked by جبريل peace be upon him, who said, what is إحسان? He said to him, what is إحسان? He said, إحسان is to worship Allah as if you can see Him. The Shaykh stopped that. At that, he said, "وَهَذَا أَكْمَلٌ مِنَ الَّذِي بَعْدَهُ." This is better than the second part of the tafsir. To worship Allah as if you can see Him is better than, but if you cannot, then know that He sees you. The first level is better. لأن الذي يعبد الله كأنه يرى يعبده عبادة طلب ورغبة. Because the one who worships Allah as if he can see Him, he's worshiping Allah with in the state of willingness and desire. يعني he's doing it with happiness, satisfaction. You see what I'm saying? He's excited about the worship of Allah. That's the first level. فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. But if you cannot see him, and you cannot see him, then he sees you, meaning know that he sees you. أي فإن لم تصل إلى هذه الحال. The Shaykh said, so if you're unable to reach the first level, which is worshiping Allah as if you can see Him, فَعَلَمْ أَنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. So know that Allah sees you. وَالَّذِي يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى هَذِهِ الْمَرْتَبَةِ يَعْبُدُهُ عِبَادَةُ خَوْفٍ وَرَهَبٍ وَلِأَنَّهُ يَخَافُ مِمَّنْ يَرَاهُ. He said, so the one, so know that He sees you, and the one who worships Allah according to this level is the one who worships Allah out of fear and awe. Awe as in A-W-E. He says, because he is afraid of that which he does not see. Is that clear? No. Okay. Prophet ﷺ said to Jibreel, Ihsan is to worship Allah as if you can see Him. That's the first level. But if you cannot reach that, then know that Allah sees you. That's the second level. The first one is better than the second. And the way it is explained is as follows. The first one, worshiping Allah as if you can see Him, is when you do it with willingly. Yani your heart is full of joy. You're worshiping Allah and you're happy. You're doing it because you want to do it, not because you're afraid. You see what I'm saying? There's no harm in being afraid. You are afraid. But you also have the factor of love, desire, willingness in the worship of Allah. That's a higher level. If you're unable to reach that level, then at least know that Allah sees you. So you're more in a state of fear. You're afraid of punishment, you're afraid of Jahannam. So you do the things you're supposed to do, huh? Because you don't want any trouble. But it's not as good as the first one, who has that and a level above you, which is that he's striving to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that clear?
That level is higher than this.
Exactly. So then the first, this is a very important definition, because many people have a misunderstanding. What does it mean to worship Allah as if you can see Him, but if you cannot see Him, then know that He sees you? So that's the tafsir of Ahlul Ilm, the religious scholars of knowledge. طيب. وأما الإحسان بالنسبة لمعاملة الخلق فقيل في تفسيره بذل الندى وكف الأذى وطلاقة الوجه. As for إحسان in terms regarding the treatment of the creation of Allah, It was said in its tafsir, in its explanation, it's three things. You must know this also. Bazlun nada, which is exerting goodness. Yani, being good, striving to be good. Kaful adha, refraining from harming others. The first one is helping, willingly. The second one is don't harm people, like dhulm, as Brother Muhammad mentioned. And وَثَالِثًا طَلَاقَةُ الْوَجْهِ, smiling, having a happy face. The Shaykh will actually elaborate on the three, how to give examples to all three. كَفْ بَذْلُ النَّدَى وَكَفُّ الْأَذَى وَطَلَاقَةُ الْوَجْهِ,
striving to be good, refraining from bad,
from harm, refraining from harming others, and
smiling.
This being, you know, not only the face. I mean, it's the face, but it's your general behavior. Your attitude towards people is that of, yeah, you're nice, cool.
Easy one.
Hey, well, because sometimes it's the other way around. Lam start. Hey. So the Shaykh will elaborate on that, inshallah, and we will postpone that till next week, with Allah Azza wa Jal.
Is it that the third one could be it's a nature of the person? Need to develop that also.
Yeah, you need to struggle with yourself.
Struggle with ourselves, to create ourselves?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the akhlaq are of two kinds. That which you were born with, and that which you acquire. Prophet ﷺ told one of his companions, "Verily, you have two qualities that Allah loves." And he mentioned among them, Al-Hilmu wal-Anat, being pardoning people and careful. You're careful. You're, you know, he's not, you know, doesn't overreact, doesn't panic. He said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, what did Allah create me in this fashion, or are they things that I have acquired?" He said, "No, Allah created you like that." So this is the kind that you are born with. But still, if this was the case, then there would be no part of Islam that deals with how you're supposed to behave, because everybody will say, "Well, I was born like that."
No.
But that's not the case. You were still given, huh? So each one will have to struggle against his. You may have something by nature, alhamdulillah, and there are some things that you have to, you know, strive and acquire, and, you know, try to put them into your life. You know, some people become more angry than others. Some people, you know.
Akhlaq means character.
People like. Most of the people are always serious person.
Personality.
Looks, yeah, personality. How?
They ask money for smiling.
No, I'm sad.
No, not like that. It is nature.